Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Franchise Interviews. For over 6 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship. Listen to interviews with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys. And now, welcome your host, Marty McDermott, and Franchise Interviews.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 7 years, we've been asking the entrepreneurs worldwide. I'm your host, Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews. We have a great show today. We're meeting with Leonard Fisher, the president and owner of Handel's Homemade Ice Cream and Yogurt. And since 1945, Handel's Homemade Ice Cream and Yogurt is made fresh every day on the premises. And we're going to talk to Leonard about that in just a moment on Franchise Interviews. So stick around because we got a great show.
Looking for a franchise that delivers? Businesses will always need shipping, and for more than 25 years, loyal customers have depended on Unishippers for reliable savings and exceptional customer service. Unishippers is focused on just one thing, helping small and medium-sized businesses save time and money on all their shipping needs. And as the largest reseller of complete shipping services in the country, we have the buying power to ensure that we succeed. The Unishippers franchise offers low startup costs, no equipment or real estate required because they're not retail, residual income, and a quality of life and work-life balance. For more information on becoming a Unishippers franchisee, go to www.unishippers.com and click Franchise Opportunities or call Franchise Development at 801-708-5822. That's 801-708-5822.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 7 years now, we've been asking the entrepreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and as we were saying earlier, we have a great show today. We're meeting with Leonard Fisher, the president and owner of Handel's Homemade Ice Cream and Yogurt, and since 1945, Handel's Homemade Ice Cream and Yogurt is made fresh every day on the premises. Hey, Leonard, how you doing? Welcome back to the show. How you doing?
Good, Marty. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. I have to tell the story, Leonard. We were doing the show last week, and for the first time in 8 years, the power went out, and we didn't get to finish the show, but something great happened was you were so kind to send us samples of the ice cream, and I got to tell you what a big hit it was. I can't thank you enough. Now I get it, you know, after trying the ice cream. It is out of this world, isn't it?
Yes, thank you. It is great. The kids loved it. Your wife loved it.
Oh, my God. I mean, the flavors were just fantastic. I mean, I have to tell you, it's kind of embarrassing. I started with the, I think it was the coconut almond fudge was
okay.
One of the samples, and I ate the whole pint. My wife ate the whole pint of, I think she had the cheesecake with Oreo. And
okay.
My son, who's only six, I mean, we would never let him eat the whole pint, you know, but he was digging into it. I should have taken a picture of his face because he was having the chocolate chunk, you know, and we were just trying all the samples. But, I mean, now I get it. I mean, you were telling me the story, you know, and the whole history of the company, and I said, wow, I get it. You know, you were in the right place at the right time. You know, maybe we could talk a little bit about the history of Handel's because, I mean, it's certainly an amazing history.
Well, yeah, sure, the history. Well, Alice Handel started the company in 1945. Out of her husband's gas station. I guess she decided one day she wanted to make ice cream. She bought a 2.5-quart ice cream machine, and she picked some strawberries out of a garden, got some ice cream mix, and that was her first batch.
Right.
And it was a hit, so of course she went to larger ice cream machines, and one thing after another, and she became so famous in that area, so busy, she actually moved the location from a great corner to a one-way street behind the building because there was, I guess, more parking, and she was worried about the kids getting hit by cars. And it turned out to be a phenomenal success. Even the location, they say location, location, location.
Right,
you
right.
would never pick this location for the, you know, for the original location, ever. Ever. It was great.
It's amazing. And people came from quite a distance, too, I understand, to get to the location, Leonard.
Oh, sure. They came from all over. Far, you know, they're far away as PA, you know, further out in Ohio. I mean,
yeah.
just, they came from 30, 40 miles away. Sunday was our busiest day. People came from all over on Sunday to enjoy the ice cream, hang out with neighbors or friends they haven't seen in a long time. They would sit on their pickup trucks, in their car, on the ground. We didn't even have benches.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, what makes the ice cream truly special is, I mean, as you're eating it, I mean, you really feel like you're eating homemade, fresh ice cream. And I've only had that, you know, happen to me in several instances in my life, but that was the whole appeal of it, is that you're eating homemade ice cream, isn't it?
Well, sure, the whole thing feels awesome. Besides being, you know, homemade, made fresh every day and using the best ingredients money can buy, we never take the ice cream and freeze it to 10 or 15 below zero and store it. We make it every single day.
Right.
So what separates us from everybody else, besides the quality, it's the texture. You know, even the ice cream that you received at home, I should have told you, leave it out for 5 minutes if you can wait that long.
We did. We actually did leave it out, and that was it was amazing.
And then the texture becomes just like it's, you know, buying it
yes.
fresh at the store. And
exactly.
that's the difference between our ice cream and we'll call it supermarket ice cream or maybe other premiums
yes.
out there. It's totally different because of the process and how we make it and how we store it. We don't make it on Monday for Friday. We make it on Monday for
right.
Monday and maybe Tuesday.
That's
so that differentiates us between everyone else. And, again, homemade, fresh, every day, you can't beat it.
You really can't. No, I mean, there certainly is a difference. Maybe you could talk a little bit, you know, about the products you sell at Handles, Leonard, because it's a pretty, you know, diverse group of products, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. You know, instead of, you know, besides selling, you know, ice cream cones, mm-hmm. we have a Handle Pop that I developed. I think it was in 1987.
Yeah.
We just took a scoop of ice cream and dipped it in some chocolate that we get from Belgium, which is, you know, it's phenomenal. You know, we make hurricanes, which is, you know, you take your ice cream, you put the ingredients, put it on a special machine, it comes out thick like cement, you can't even turn it upside down.
Yeah.
We make the ices, the sherbets, the banana splits, the sorbets, you know, smoothies. We make everything that has to do with ice cream and desserts. We do not sell any food products, never have, never will. So
wow.
I think, again, you know, all we do is ice cream, and we do it very, very well.
Yeah, and it's great when you go on the website and you can actually, you know, see all those different products as well, you know, because then we got curious after we ate it, you know, we're going to the website and it was kind of torture, you know, as as we were going through the whole thing, you know, but I mean, it really is fantastic. You know, it's interesting because one of the questions I always ask, I guess like yourself, is I'll say, okay, well, you know, you're the CEO. I mean, what's your favorite product? I mean, are you able to answer that question? I think
Oh, sure. I mean, you know, the funny thing is, I mean, of course, my favorite product is our ice cream, but my favorite flavor, because I love dark chocolate,
yeah.
is the Chocoholic Chunk.
It is the Chocoholic Chunk.
Chocoholic Chunk, but in season, did we send you some of the peach?
Yes, we did. In fact,
well,
my in-laws tried the peach as well, and they loved the peach. They said it was out of this world.
Well, and the peaches are my favorite for seasonal, because we get the peaches locally. Like I said, we have to cut them, sugar them, soak them. You know, there's no artificial flavors in that. It's all peaches.
Oh.
You know, which a lot of people, you know, and peach, they expect these big chunks of peaches. Well,
right.
when we have these whole peaches, when you put them in the machine, you know, they get ground up and that you don't see them identifiable, but the
right.
taste is there. Alice Handel taught me this. If you taste an ice cream and the flavor hits you right away, it's artificial. You have to take
yeah.
it, let it come to you slowly. If it comes to you slowly, then
wow.
you know it's real.
She must have been an amazing person. I mean, what was she like as a person?
She was great. She was 4'11", nothing.
Really?
I don't think she weighed 80 pounds or 90 pounds, maybe.
That's amazing.
And the funny thing is, I worked with her for a while, maybe a few months, and all I would see her eat is vanilla ice cream cones. I never saw her eat food. I swear, I never saw her eat food. And
isn't that
here's
great?
Here's this woman about 90 pounds picking up these ice cream tubs after she made the ice cream, and the ice cream tubs weighed, approximately 30 pounds. Right?
That's fantastic.
I went one day to pick up that tub. She said, if you touch my tub again, I'm not working here anymore. I mean, that's how great she was.
Fantastic.
She was a phenomenal woman. We had a great time. We worked together for about 2 years after I bought the place, and then she passed away on Mother's Day, 1987.
Yeah.
But she was wonderful. She was quiet. She was wonderful. And she worked from 9 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night, 7 days a week from the week after Easter until October.
That's incredible. I'm sure she'd be pleased today, too, you know, to see how far, you know, the company's come. I mean, you know, Handel's been in business now for 70 years. I mean,
almost 70 years, yeah.
70 years. How have you stayed competitive, you know, over all that time, Leonard?
You know, the funny thing is, you know, you talk about competitiveness. You know, we have, you know, like the yogurt phase. They come and they go. You have different people making all these kind of crazy ice creams like a violet tea ice cream or
right.
they're making poppy ice cream or something. The reason we stay competitive is that we stick with what we know and we're consistent. We might come up with new flavors, but they'll be regular
mm-hmm.
flavors like a salted caramel everybody's eating now, or it could be another blueberry flavor. We don't
right.
go into those wild and crazy flavors. And to stay competitive, we keep on doing what we're doing, and we have people that come into our marketplace and try to compete with us. We've had 3 Cold Stone Creameries. They're out of business. We've had Baskin-Robbins. They're no longer here. We had another local company try to compete with us. Everybody closes. You know, it's just that they can't compete with us. We have not only quality, we have price. In this area, we charge $2.50 for an ice cream cone. If you go into a yogurt shop, you could walk out spending $5, $6 a person.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You know, and
it
you
does.
Think you get something good. You're starting with vanilla yogurt, ending up with vanilla yogurt with chocolate chips, M&Ms, cotton candy, sprinkles, whipped cream,
right.
cherries, hot fudge, and you're
it
walking out with 1,000 calories.
It's true. It does.
So to stay competitive, it's not so much to change everything we do, but I believe if you're consistent in what you do, thereby you're staying competitive.
Yeah, I think that's well said. Are the markets different, Leonard? I mean, you know, throughout different parts of the country, I mean, are there certain flavors that are more popular in, like, you know, the West Coast versus, like, the East Coast?
Oh, yeah, definitely. On the West Coast, for some reason, banana cream pie and Graham Central Station and mint chocolate chip, they can't keep it. It
really?
Just, you know, and then over here in our area, our number one flavor is chocolate pecan.
That's amazing.
If you go to Pennsylvania, like we're in, around the York area, York and Berwyn,
right.
You can make anything with peanut butter, and it will sell.
That's
it's
fantastic.
Crazy. And, you know, as you move towards the east, the chocolate gets darker. The Midwest,
right.
the chocolate gets lighter.
That's
it's
incredible.
Crazy how it is. You know, different regions of the country like different things. In California, we have, green tea ice cream.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we have that type of, customer.
Exactly.
So sometimes you have to make certain things for the customers. And, again, I think I've told you before, our store in California, last year, they broke $1 million in sales.
That's amazing. That's that number just, like, it blew my mind.
It is, and actually, they're going to do, I think, 12% or 13% higher this year.
That's incredible. I mean, it's one of the things, I mean, it's year-round, isn't it? I mean, like, especially in winter months, you know, I mean, which is really, it's fantastic, and it's almost kind of unheard of sometimes in your business.
Oh. I mean, in the wintertime here, which, you know, the Midwest, we do get our snow.
Right,
we could do $35,000, $40,000 in the month of January. People
incredible.
Stand in line. They go from cones to pints and quarts.
It really is. It's incredible. I mean, one of the things, you know, probably our listeners are wondering is they're saying, you know, I mean, how do you, you know, compete against, like, you know, the big, like, you know, say with Baskin-Robbins. You know, we've had them on our show, you know, in the Cold Stone
Creamery. Well, Baskin-Robbins, that's a very good choice of an ice cream shop.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but according to, I think it's a National News or a Restaurant News magazine,
mm-hmm.
the average Baskin-Robbins does $208,000 a year.
$208,000 a year.
$208,000 a year. California last month, they did $125,000.
It's crazy, isn't it? I mean,
our stores around here, if we did company-wide, we average about $500,000 a year, and the ones in California average $780,000 a year. So Baskin-Robbins is not a competitor for us. Like I said, there used to be 2 or 3 Baskin-Robbins in our area. There are none anymore.
That's amazing.
So as far as competing with, you know, it's just like in Indianapolis, which is, I think, Culver's is based out of Indianapolis.
Yeah.
5 years running, we were rated as the number one ice cream in Fisher's and in Carmel.
That's incredible. Right. I mean, you guys had, you know, and I was thinking of the last show, too. I mean, you know, the accolades that Handel's has received over the years. What was the one? I can't remember. It was like the
that
best
was,
ice cream in the country.
National Geographic.
That's it, the National Geographic one, where they actually go around, they, like, evaluate best hamburgers,
best
pizza,
everything.
Best ice cream. You guys were number one, weren't you?
Right. I mean, it's actually the traveler's guide to the best of everything in the world.
I mean that
the
must have blown your mind
they,
when you heard that.
We didn't even, we couldn't believe it, because the other places they list are some places in Cuba, in
right.
Paris, so it's all over the world. And, I mean, you know, for Youngstown, Ohio, to be listed number one, I mean, and it's unsolicited. It's unbelievable.
It really
is
unbelievable.
It's totally unbelievable. You
know,
we've been in... Go ahead.
I was going to say, are you involved in the product innovation letter? I mean, do you get involved in that too? You know, I mean, do they ask you, say, okay, you know, you're the CEO, you know, try this or try that, you know?
Always.
You do.
I'm the only one that develops new products.
That's fantastic.
Only one. They come to me. I mean, I have a product now I wish I could tell you about it, but when I get it, I'll send you some, and you're going to say, oh, my God, I've got to talk to him again.
You know it's going to be a hit.
This, it's a novelty, and if I don't sell a million of them a year, I won't sell one.
That's incredible. That's a pretty strong, that's a bold
statement. And when it comes out, people are going to say, why didn't I think of that? It's so simple. But I've three and a half years in development, and I finally met with a manufacturer today that could make the product for me, and it turns out he's in my own backyard.
That's incredible. Well, it's funny because I was telling my wife this story, you know, originally how, you know, you and I we really hit it off, you know, you're being from Brooklyn, you know,
right.
I'm from Brooklyn as well, you know, and I said, God, why wasn't I the one who
well, you could.
It, you know?
You could discover it in New Jersey.
It's true. It's true.
Or Eastern PA, you know, go to Eastern PA, you get Larry Holmes over there eating your ice cream.
That's true. That's true. It really is fantastic. Maybe we could talk about, you know, the franchisees. I mean, what kind of franchisees are you looking for? I mean, is there anything specific that you look for, like as far as traits and characteristics, and you know, maybe we can get into like multi brands and things like that?
Well, what we're looking for now is we're looking for twofold. One, we like the individual franchisee, family type person who has the money and the fortitude to work, you know, your 7 days a week at this point, then cut back later on. Enough money that if they go into business, they don't have to worry about taking an income for a year, so they don't have to worry about earning their living to live on from that particular business.
Right.
We're looking for that type of person who's dedicated and loves the ice cream. They do not have to have restaurant experience. And on the flip side, we're looking to maybe partner up with a company. Let's use as an example a donut company or a coffee company where we're in a strip plaza and we're next to them. They're busy certain times of the day and we're busy other times of the day because, again, you know, when you get back to Baskin Robbins with Dunkin' Donuts, the sales that we have, they should be with us.
We bring
so many people to a plaza, it's unbelievable. Like, we're opening up in Vegas this year. We're opening up another location in Pennsylvania this year. And, you know, like I said, our busiest night we ever had, when we had the one location, we had 1,500 customers in 3 hours.
It's incredible.
Which is unbelievable. So the people we're looking for, again, we're looking for someone who might have 20 Pizza Huts in their portfolio and 10 Burger Kings and everything, but they do not have ice cream. They don't have a dessert, and they're going to look for someone like us who's been around for 70 years, extremely profitable, debt-free, and now we're ready to grow again.
And you've had celebrities over the years, too, you know, a numerous celebrities actually, you know, like your product as well. You know, I remember, you know, telling the story of that, and I think that's another strong testimional to it.
Well, the ones I could think of off the top of my head, we had Tom Cruise in 1987, which is a while ago.
Wow.
Then he married Katie Holmes, who was from Toledo.
Right.
And she would visit our store in Toledo, and then they took ice cream on their jet when, you know, they would go back to Toledo to see the family.
Great.
We've had, Pat Benatar is a good customer of ours.
Wow. Oh, that's fantastic.
Pat, we've had, Bill Cosby is a wonderful customer.
That's
still
incredible.
To this day. I've been dealing with Bill Cosby now for over 10 years.
That's amazing.
I'll be seeing him in, October when he's performing in Erie, Pennsylvania.
Really?
If he's performing in the area, he'll always send me some, you know, tickets and the backstage passes, and we'll just sit down and talk for about a half hour, you know, see how things are going, you know. So Mel Torme, when he was alive, Ed O'Neill, you familiar with Ed O'Neill?
I know the name, yeah.
Well, the actor, he's on that family thing now, whatever that show is.
Okay.
And what was that show? Ed O'Neill. You know him if you see him.
Ed O'Neill. Yeah, I guess if I've seen his face, I think I would know him.
What was the show? It was him, his wife, and a goofy son and a daughter back in the day.
Right. Sounds like I'm going to have to ask my father.
I can't. Yeah, you would know. You know, so, you know, we've always had celebrities. We've had Ted Kennedy when he was alive. Bill Cosby sent him ice cream.
Incredible.
Arnold Palmer. And the list goes on. The list goes on. I mean, you know, we have great products, and they keep on buying them.
And that's what it is, right? I mean, it's really – and, you know, it's a learning lesson for me, you know, again, in doing the show, you know, I was very excited. You know, I'm always excited to do the shows, but today I was particularly more excited to talk about your product, you know, I mean, because again, you know, just getting to try it, I mean, you really get it, you know, there's nothing like experiencing the product,
right.
You know, and I could see why, you know, this ice cream was voted the best ice cream in the world. I mean, it truly is, you know.
Well,
I
there
mean,
was a reason why that we lost, you know, phone connection that day. It was fate.
Yeah, I guess it was, right? God was
cream.
Playing somewhere a hand in the whole thing, you know.
Sure.
So it really was fantastic. I mean, and your background is really spectacular. I mean, when I was researching your background, I mean, you've owned and operated a series of business lenders, Lobby
right.
Lunch, multiple Yellow Submarine sub shops, Chumley's
right.
Restaurant, the jewelry business. I mean, you've seemed to do so many different things. I mean, what advice would you give to our listeners? The biggest question they have is, you know, they don't know where to begin. It seems like so many of them want to buy a franchise, but they just don't know where to begin because there's just so many choices today. I think it's up to 3,000, 4,000
sure.
different systems. They don't even know where to begin, and I think some of them just give up because it's overwhelming. What would you say to them from all your entrepreneurial experience?
Well, the first thing I would say is, you know, figure out what you love to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing. Because if you get into a business that you love, you're not working anymore. You're having a good time. If you buy into something only because you think it's going to make you a lot of money, you're not going to be happy.
Yeah.
If you buy into something that you love, you will make a lot of money. I've always said that do what you love and the money will come. If you work at something you don't like, every day you get up to go to work, you're not going to be happy.
Yeah.
The next thing is if you get involved with a franchisor, check their background.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure they've been in business a long time. Make sure that
right.
if they have company-owned stores, are they successful?
Yeah.
Talk to the people that work for that franchisor. See if they enjoy working for that person. Have they been there a long time? I mean,
yeah.
Our average employee here in my office is 32 years old. They've been with me 15 years.
Wow.
You know, so that says something for the owner.
Of course.
You know,
right.
talk to the other franchisees. Find out what's good and bad. And, you know, would they do it again? Have they done it again? Are they happy? There's so many different things you can ask, but just be diligent, you know, in looking in the background of the person who's running the company. You know, is it something they started or is it something they stole? Did they copy somebody?
True.
And why
That's
did they copy
point.
Somebody? Did they work for somebody and say, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore? Or that were they a franchisee of someone else and decided to say, you know what, I'm going to open up my own company. I don't care about the fact that I signed the contract because they'll do the same thing to you.
That's
so
true.
It's just a matter of, in the bottom line, it's the integrity of the person you're going to sign that contract with. Because at the end of the day, the contract is only a piece of paper to take you to court if you have to go.
Yeah, that's well said.
But if you're not happy with that person, do not sign it.
Yeah, I think that's well said. You know, there's been a theme on our show, too, over the last 8 years, you know, is emphasizing look towards the experience of, you know, the founders of the company, like
mm-hmm.
you were just mentioning. You know, I mean, I do. I think that's so important. What is the training like? I mean, so when someone decides, you know, they say, okay, I love this, you know, you signed the franchise agreement. I mean, do they typically come out to your headquarters then? Is that how it works for training?
Yes, they come out to a location. We have one location that we use for training. They train for 3 weeks,
mm-hmm.
8 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
Then after the training is completed, then we'll go out to their location. We'll set them up with their employees, train their employees, and stay there for as long as necessary till they feel
right.
comfortable. It's usually a week or 2 weeks, but if it takes a month, I don't really care. It's
right.
when they're comfortable to be on their own, that's when we leave. That's the
wow.
most important thing, that you want to give the support to that franchisee, that he knows you're only a phone call away.
That's
if they need
great.
Something, we had a situation where one franchisee, they knew somebody was stealing, but they couldn't figure it out. So I
wow.
sent out my district manager. She stayed there for a week. She found out who was stealing, fired them, and all of a sudden their profits are up.
Wow, that's incredible.
You know, it's
that is a great
we'll do anything
story.
We can to help the franchisee. You know, we'll
must
negotiate
be still a great
leases.
Feeling.
I'm sorry?
Say, is it a great feeling for you? I mean, what's it still like today? I mean, opening up new franchisees, I mean, it must be still, I imagine, a great feeling for you.
I love it.
Yeah.
This one in I can't wait to do this one in Vegas. The guy's local from here, then moved to Vegas, and he worked at the Wynn. I guess they call it a concierge, whatever it was.
Okay.
And he did very well, and everybody knows him. And they even want the ice cream in the hotels. So I'm excited about opening up an area like that. You know, people always say that, well, how do you know it's going to do well when you're a regional
right.
favorite? And I say, look, just like you tasted the ice cream, the one thing I know in the food business is that you open up a restaurant, I don't care what kind of food business, if it's people will come for the opening. Everyone comes. They want to try out the new restaurant. If
yeah,
it's good, they
true.
Come back.
It's
if it's
true,
not,
it's
they don't
true.
Come back. Yeah, I mean, when you have McDonald's, there was one.
That's right.
It all starts out as one. If you're good, like I said, in California, actually his first year in business 4 years ago, he did $650,000. Now he's doing over $1 million. There's a reason for that.
That's incredible. Well, look at the story of even how the company began. You know what I mean? Defying all the laws of location. Yeah, I don't know if I told
right.
you, I teach marketing. And, I mean, it really broke all the laws of location,
all.
Location, location.
Yeah.
You know, going to show you that, yes, if you have a great product, people will still find you, won't they?
Oh, build it and they will come. They just do.
It sure
it's just it's phenomenal. But, of course, you want a great location.
Of course.
If you can get it. But sometimes you just can't find it.
Right. It should be interesting too with the hotel too, like to see, you know, and seeing, you know, how that works out, you know, and I'm sure that might even open up, you know, other opportunities for
well. We're not open yet, and there's that they have that big festival down there, iHeartRadio 3-day festival.
Okay, sure, yeah.
They wanted him to provide ice cream, but we couldn't do it. We're not ready for that yet. But
right.
that's how quick it's gonna go there. But we did sell ice cream at the 49ers new stadium last weekend.
Did you really?
Yeah, and this is really funny. The owners of the 49ers are from Youngstown, the Bartolos.
Okay.
And we were sending ice cream out to the 49ers when they were in the quest for the Super Bowl.
Right.
We sent them ice cream every single week. And the players loved it. And then they came to town to practice because they were going to stay on the East Coast, and they came over to the location every day. Aaron Andrews.
It's an addiction. It really is an addiction.
Do you know who Aaron Andrews is?
Yeah, sure.
Sure. Well, she came over. And she talked about it. Then they did ESPN Sports.
Yeah.
And they were interviewing the players to talk about Handel's ice cream.
Wow.
We got 10 minutes of national advertising that we never paid a penny for.
That's amazing, isn't it?
So, yeah, so they wanted to have ice cream at the stadium. And, you know, I said, I don't know how we're going to do it because we're not set up for that.
Right.
So I had my California location pack half pints, right, 720 of them because that's what they wanted.
Right.
Then
right.
I had my son drive it from that location to the stadium in containers
wow.
of dry ice.
That's amazing.
And they sold out.
That's incredible.
You know, so everybody wants a piece of us.
Yeah, well, that's what it is. I mean, again, it's addicting as well, too. You know, I mean, once
mm-hmm.
you have it, you know, your body is going to crave it
want
almost
it.
Like coffee. You know, that's, you know, and that's what I meant was when I said I get it, you know. You know, after trying the product. So what's in the future? I mean, if you can look, you know, 3 to 5 years down the road, I mean, you know, where do you see yourself, Leonard?
Well, what I'm looking at is twofold. I think between the next 3 to 5 years, we'll have 100 locations.
Wow.
Without a doubt.
That's amazing.
Without a doubt.
And that's pretty much in the United States. I guess you're going to stay
yeah,
in the U.S.?
I'm staying in the U.S. I don't know anything
okay.
about going far. And staying. There's enough places in the United States to grow before I decide to go out
that's
of the country.
That's true.
And also
true.
That novelty item that I'm telling you about, but once we have it packaged, I'll sell you some. I'm going to be selling that probably every major amusement park and stadium in the country.
That's amazing. I can't wait
and
to
I can,
hear
I
what
I can guarantee
is.
You this. There is not one thing like it out there.
Really?
No.
That's incredible. Oh, and well, that's the entrepreneur in you, too. You know, again,
well, that's the fun part.
Background. It's the fun part for you. It
right.
seems to me like that's what you thrive on, you know, is that creativity, almost like an artist.
No, I love it. I love coming up with new flavors, new things, you know. But also, we didn't mention, we're also ingrained in the community. You know, we have a Akron Children's Hospital that we're devoted to raising funds for them. In the last 4 years, we've raised $175,000 for Akron Children's Hospital.
Wow, that's amazing. That's
you know, so we do that, too. You know, we love it here. The people have been very good to us. We like to give back
yeah.
to the community.
Well, this has become my favorite story in 8 years. I have 400 shows. You know, I never thought I could top this one, but you topped it for me. So this has become my new
thank you.
Favorite show, you know, and I want to thank you again for coming on the show, Leonard. I think it's fantastic. What's the best way for our listeners to get more information on Handels? Any websites that they should
yes,
go to?
Yes, Handel, H-A-N-D-E-L-S, icecream.com. Handels Ice
easy
cream.
Enough. That's fantastic. I want to thank you again, Leonard, for coming on the show. And I'd really like to invite you back, you know, next year as it
okay.
sounds like you're working on
great.
Some of these interesting things. It's you've been a wonderful guest.
But in the meantime, when I make that novelty, I'm going to send you some, and your kids are going to love it.
I would love that, and I can't thank you enough. It was such a nice surprise for my family. You made me a big hero with my in-laws as well, so thanks
well,
a lot.
I'm glad I could do that. Thanks, Marty.
Thanks a lot, Leonard. It was great to talk
okay.
to you. Talk to you soon. Take
bye-bye.
Care. And we'll be right back with more Franchise Interviews.
Franchisers, are you looking to reach aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? Are you looking to reach a highly educated audience on franchising? For over 6 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys, and our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, which podcast you get to hear. A great quote in franchising. You know, we've been hosting franchise interviews now over 6 years and over 300 shows, and during that time, we've had some incredible quotes on the show. Today, you're going to get to hear from Ellen Dunn, who is a franchisee to the Wild Birds Unlimited franchise system. And frequently on the show, we'll ask our guests, why franchising? Why did you go into franchising? And I thought Ellen's answer was really unique out of all the guests we've had in 6 years. She spoke about the importance of having relationships, and you know, she even thinks of the franchisor and her fellow franchisees as friends. So I thought that was very clever. She also took an assessment of what, you know, maybe her possible weaknesses were and her strengths, and you know, she says that the franchise can help her with things like advertising or marketing, which, you know, wasn't really in her background. So we're going to play that clip for you right now and enjoy this edition of Great Quotes in Franchising from Franchise Interviews. Here we go.
When I left me and started my own business, I always had a corporation behind me.
Right.
And I knew that I needed someone that could offer me all the things that I didn't get from the corporate world. And after interviewing several other franchisees, I knew that WBU was where I was going to get all the things as a small business owner that from the corporate world that I couldn't get on my own, such as the HR and the marketing.
Right. So you were sold or you were convinced on franchising right away, Ellen. You kind of like knew that, you know, you wanted to be an entrepreneur, but franchising was probably the best alternative for your situation.
Correct, because I didn't, you know, I didn't have all the expertise for mainly the marketing, the advertising.
Sure.
Because I always, as I said, I always had a corporation behind me at my other jobs. So I didn't know how to go about doing all those things on my own. And a franchise is the best way to get those items.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic.
Did
you know the category was going to be retail, Ellen? I mean, there's like 80 different industries, a Wild Birds Unlimited franchisee.
Well, that was one of the things I was nervous the most about going out on my own was missing relationship building, because again, coming from very large corporations, I was worried about not having friends. I must say,
interesting,
I have tons of friends. All the different store owners, building the relationships with all the store owners here in New England and across the United States, I just have lots of relationships and the relationships at the Franchise Support Center. I can pick up the phone at any time and call any number of people to talk to and bounce off, you know, crazy ideas that I might be coming up with, and they'll either laugh with me or think that it's a great idea or
right.
tell me I'm out of my mind. And it's just been a wonderful support
yeah.
group. And there are people to talk to when you need those different supports, whether it's crisis management or whether it's just somebody to talk to. There's always somebody around that you can talk to or go out and spend an evening with. There's always somebody there to do that. And I really
That's
didn't
great.
Think I was going to have that support group anymore.
It sounds like it's the culture, too, at Wild Birds Unlimited that you enjoy, too, Ellen. And listening to, you know, I've never, you know, in the 6 years of doing that show, I like how you mentioned, you know, use the word friends, which I think is very powerful. You know, the relationship with franchisees and also the relationship with the franchisor. I think that's very powerful what you said. So I think that's fantastic, you know. And it sounds like, as you said, there's always someone to talk to, and you wouldn't get that if you did this on your own, would you? You know, if you called it, you know, Ellen's Birds Unlimited, you know, I guess it would be a lot more lonely experience.
Right.
So
yep. And they are my friends. I mean, Paul is right up there, and I'm just not saying that. Paul's
mm-hmm.
up there, and I mean, any number of them. I mean, I look at them all as my friends, and whenever I think of coming to the, you know, the end of this relationship at some point, it, to me, it's going to be incredibly
really
sad,
sad
because
yeah.
it's they're all my friends, and I value all their friendship, and I value their knowledge. They have great ideas. I don't always agree with their ideas,
mm-hmm.
And I don't. And they always go along with that, and they accept
yeah.
when you don't agree with them. I don't know. They don't always like it, but, you know,
right.
and they always accept the criticism.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in sometimes they let you go away on your own. And whether it works or whether it doesn't work, that's accepted, which is good to know.
Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll see you next week with another edition of Franchise Interviews. Take care, everyone.